Hi, this is Rosie Langhorne, and you're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive. This is Jean Bruce Scott
and Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Excellent. One of the delights of the wonderful World Wide Web is every so often you have top colleagues such as the wonderfully fabulous Annette Andre sending you material across the web, such as this little piece, which says every time President Trump revamps his campaign promise to build that tall, powerful, beautiful wall along the Mexican border, he sounds increasingly like a developer ruminating over the blueprints for Mythic Xanadu. Mr. Trump suddenly added beautiful solar panels to his wall specs last month, claiming that these might somehow even pay for construction. Then again, he now says that the thick wall he envisioned should be transparent enough so that border agents would not get hit by large sacks of drugs tossed over the wall by sneaky Mexican drug dealers. They hit you on the head with 60 pounds of stuff, it's over, the president said. Annette, I mean...
I'm sorry. I can't help. I mean, it's just... It's, I don't know.
Well, it is. I mean, it's comedy genius. It's comedy gold. I just feel I could do it justice, really. It's amazing.
Oh, you did it beautifully. Oh.
Well, thank you. But welcome back for your monthly audio missive from the delights of just outside San Diego, where it's all happening. We've just actually been speaking to a musician from Missouri, so we're kind of crossing over the time zones and so forth. What delights will you be sharing with us today?
Well, this one is, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? I doubt that Groucho Marx was aware of what he was unleashing on an unsuspecting world when he delivered this line in one of his madcap comedies. From the caveman who first took credit for the lightning bolt that knocked his rival silly, to Donald Trump's alternative take on the facts, lying for profit and power has been the world's oldest profession. You can't go into a supermarket and not learn at the checkout that Amelia Earhart's airplane has just been found on the moon, or that eating 4 slices of white bread a day can change your sex. Even in this age of the internet and Twitter, the tabloids still have the power to deliver versions of the truth that the mainstream media are too timid to dispense. I should know. Having spent a good deal of my career reading about someone impersonating me, for the most part, I'd forgotten about this identity theft until I began writing my memoir. Did you know, and I certainly didn't, that I was once a quirk of fate away from wearing the Spanish crown? Or that the American teen idol Frankie Avalon and I were A, married, B, engaged, or C, secretly divorced? And we hadn't even met when all this hit the headlines on the same day. Oh, how about this for a spooky tabloid traffic jam? Not one, but 2 poltergeists suddenly began stalking me all through the filming of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased. And what about the real reason I was spending so much time in Spain wasn't to marry a royal, but that I was in secret training to become a bullfighter? Anyone who has spent some time in the public's eye is fair game for the alchemists of what was once called the skinny, the bottom line truth behind the published story. When I began my career in Australia, journalism there under Rupert Murdoch and several others who paddled in the same sinkholes was already way ahead of Britain and America in feeding the public all the facts they could invent. And of course, the vast majority of those who could read, moving their lips or not, preferred their news with a hint of the knickers showing. I was still in my tender teens and making my start in radio when I naively mentioned to a publicist that I'd entered a contest being run by the United Artists Film Company in Hollywood for a role in one of their productions. Within days, my photo appeared in a large circulation paper under the headline, Sydney actress tapped for Hollywood stardom. The same inflation of the truth followed me to Rome, where I was cast in Cleopatra as one of Elizabeth Taylor's handmaidens. It was a non-speaking role that had me providing her with goblets of wine and a grape or two. But by the time the Italian press had their fling with the facts, it was a wonder that I didn't have billing just under Richard Burton. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm very aware that publicity is the lifeblood of show business. But unlike Trump, who could care less about what's said, so long as it's about him, I and many others have been harmed by these merchants of lies told solely for their profit. During a rough patch, the amazingly talented footballer George Best holed up in my flat to escape the battalions of press making his life a living hell. We dated a few times, and what small romance had been was now over, but we remained good friends, and I was happy to give him refuge. Because I refused to allow the press to interview him or give them any inside dirt about his situation, I was raked over the coals for more than a year with false stories about my personal and professional lives. I had a friend who put himself through college writing exposés for the American scandal sheet, the National Enquirer. Never leaving his scrungy bedsit, he'd compose such hand-on-the-Bible factual stories as 3,000-year-old mummy revived and Cary Grant's secret sex change. Over the years, his fantasies were reprinted time and again as fact in newspapers and magazines across the world. But he admitted that one of the few times a story of his was accused of being fabricated was when he reported that I had won 7 straight races at Santa Anita Racetrack. I had actually visualized the colors of the winning jockey's silks, and relayed that information by phone to my husband in Los Angeles from my home in London the night before the races. As my friend said, with the wisdom of someone who had the pulse of the public, the truth is a tough sell.
Extraordinary. Although I must admit, Annette, I always thought you were a secret bullfighter person in any way, shape or form, so I did think the Spanish one was there, but still, no, knowing your love for animals, that would be ridiculous. Still, never mind.
All right.
Nice to see that we give a little name check to David Bolstridge, who made a valiant attempt to actually address the competition you ran on our last letter from the other coast, so I thought I'd give him a name check there, but didn't quite get it right. So if you want to see the letter in its entirety, either listen to the podcast again or download it from the Annette André Facebook page. It's marvellous. Sometimes you can be too complex in the whole sort of systems, but never mind. It's all part and parcel of the whole system. I hadn't realised the George Best connection, though. That's quite an interesting one, given that obviously George
yes,
is...
Yes, I knew him. He was very sweet, and it was right during the time he had all that trouble with the press, and he was running away.
And being
actually, when he stayed with me for a couple of days... The press were waiting outside. For somehow or other, they knew he'd come there. I don't know how, because he thought he'd skip them. Yeah. And he had to get to the airport because he wanted to get back to Spain and get some peace and quiet. Mm. I stuck him on the on the floor of my car, covered with a rug, and hustled him out through the underground carport, you know, and to the airport, and they never knew.
There's a movie waiting to be made about that. There is a movie waiting to be made. Definitely worked for that. It's interesting, Bob, because we don't have any Midweek Drive Act co-presenters with us in the studio today, but bearing that some of my students are, of course, reading journalism, as I teach on journalism, it's quite interesting that in terms of the ethical side of the profession, it's something we need to make clear that actually you don't fabricate stories, you don't engage in the process of that. There is an ethical system because your lies will find you out, and it's not good, but it's just...
That's right. I mean, it was really ridiculous. I would pick up a paper one day, because I've kept a lot of clippings and things over the years, and going through them for the memoir, I'd come across things, and I think, oh, my God, yes, of course, I've just remembered that. And it would be some fabricated story about my marrying the prince in Spain or something, you know, and I happened to have met him at a party or something, and it was ridiculous.
Basically, the Prince of Spain would realise that you were well out of his league. You were far too sort of top a person. You need more than royalty. You know, it's a different life from that. Sort
absolutely,
of
exactly. I certainly was, and I agree with you 100%. Well,
precisely. and so as we look out of the window here at the studio, we're currently sort of working here. I can see sort of the weather's kind of a little bit bleak at its time. I mean, sunshine and showers. How is it in San Diego?
Shall I say sunny?
Yes, that's okay. Because I like to feel as though at least...
We did start the morning with a little bit of fog. It comes in from the sea quite often. And you wake up and there's fog. And then, whoopee, it all burns off and there you are, brilliant sunshine, blue skies.
Well, in the absence of Midweek Drive-Outs, it falls to my good self to obviously throw those last two questions to you, the traditional ones, as ever, customer satisfaction. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
Of course I have, and I particularly liked the bit before I started. Your bit.
You provide the script.
Very well done.
I shall try and actually give it some sort of oomph for the whole system. I was channeling my inner Trump, really, from that perspective, really.
Your inner Trump.
Sometimes you have to get in touch with the dark side.
It gets better and better every day, I'm here to tell you. It just gets better and better. Or maybe that's a bad word.
As the Chinese people once said in their maxim, may we live in interesting times, we certainly do. So that's true. So I take it we can prevail upon you in August again to actually join us in a few weeks' time to actually connect with us and do more magical audio missives. Brilliant.
And then, of course,
you're heading off to a prisoner convention, I believe, sometime in September.
I am in September. I think it's on the 29th of September. I'll be there a week or so. A couple of weeks I'm going to be there.
Well,
and I believe you spoke with Tim Beddoes.
We did indeed speak with Tim Beddoes and shall hopefully speak again with Tim Beddoes because he passed needless to say, Annette, if somebody's got your seal of approval, then it's a no-brainer. It's like having a platinum gold pass, really. We knew there were no worries whatsoever. It was automatically going to be spot on. So, Tim, did you proud?
Oh, good.
Rightly so. Annette, we salute you. We'll speak again very soon.
All right, that's wonderful. I look forward to it. Thanks, Alex.
Soaks you to the bone. Maybe I just wanna fly, wanna live but don't wanna die. Maybe I just wanna breathe. Maybe I just don't believe. Maybe you're the same as me. We see things I'll never see.
You and I are gonna live forever.
I said maybe.
to which, of course, the statement is, of course you're going to live forever, especially if you've got the delights of Katie Grimason online. Isn't that right, Katie?
Yeah, hello.
Yay! Katie Grimason is back on the Midweek Drive and the world, they go crazy. Well, in a kind of crazy applause-based sense there. It's all very, very wonderful. Okay, so Katie, you are now clearly in charge of making sure that Birmingham is the place to go to. You've been singing its praises for many a year now. How are you finding your new post, your new job, etc., which specifically is entailing meeting glorious celebrity chefs, dealing with various exhibitors? Share with us what you're doing.
Oh, it's amazing, Alex. I'm really glad that I've got such an opportunity. So yeah, what I do now is I'm actually with a company called Colmore Bid, and it's basically promoting the Colmore Business District area of Birmingham and everything that's fantastic about it. And I'm a project assistant basically, so I just help support the project managers and arrange events and stuff. And yes, I do get to hang out with celebrity chefs. I was at a champagne reception last week, actually, at an art gallery. Couldn't give me enough champagne.
You surprised me, Katie. I never thought you were a champagne person. I thought you were teetotal, but obviously I was mistaken in that one. Never mind.
It's just, I love it. I love working. It's amazing.
Well, that's and that's how one becomes a positive, more all well-rounded human being in the whole sort of sequence,
I started off in digital marketing. I kind of got a bit bored with SEO, just helping people get the ranks on Google, and I wanted something to work on what was exciting, and now I've found it. And yeah, and all that stuff I've done at uni has definitely helped me as well.
That was going to be my next question, actually, for graduates who will be obviously graduating this September when they go out into the wide world. You know, we've obviously Emma Tinson left us last year. This year we have Natasha Armstrong who's heading off there. Would you say keep going, keep following your dream, and things will work out?
Yeah, well, I'd say so. I mean, the way I look at things is that it was actually at my graduation ceremony. I can't remember who said it, but very wise words. They said every job you get is like a stepping stone. I mean, I've done work placements, worked for free, internships, that kind of stuff. And at the time you don't think it's very good, but it's just a stepping stone, and it's building your experience up. I mean, I've done stuff like blogging for online radios, and I thought at the time, is this all it's going to be? But now I'm in this job, and I can see that things from just doing that has helped me today. I mean, that band who I used to promote, Broken Wick Rebels, I can remember going into a bar on my own to write a review on them. And then last week, I was on my own in an art gallery drinking champagne, networking with people. But it didn't bother me, and I think stuff like that has helped me and has had an impact on me, which is good.
Katie, you've got to remember you're never on your own once you've been a Midweek Drive. You have the spirit of the Midweek Drive always with you, so even when you might think you're alone, we're always there, shouting your cause. That's important, saying, go, Katie, go, 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 go.
But yeah, my advice to graduates is just keep going, really. You are going to get rejected, but I think in the end it was the rejection what kind of helped me. It made me more determined. And when I was applying to jobs and getting in touch with people, I was very honest and saying, look, I don't have that much experience. I've just come out of uni. But are you prepared to give me to help me build my career up? And I'd say definitely be honest about stuff and honest about your expectations, which is what I did.
As the oracle at Delphi once said, to thine own self be true, and we'll still work on that even today, which is great stuff. So returning to the opening question then, Katie, why should the Midweek Drive, from whichever studio we're heading down from, why should we make a beeline for Birmingham to check out some of the sites and activities that are actually there?
Oh, because Birmingham is just amazing, and you should definitely come to Colmore Business District. We've just done a festival, actually, what attracted about 35,000 people, Colmore Food Festival. It's just got a really good mix of stuff. I mean, you've got Digbeth, what's like the creative art scene, then you've got the Jewellery Quarter, and then you've obviously got Colmore Row. But I quite like Digbeth and Jewellery Quarter because they're both up-and-coming areas, and they've got like really quirky bars and attractions to them. But I do like Colmore Road. That's the business area, and I just love it. And obviously we've got a Michelin star restaurant. Glyn Purnell, he's actually on, well, Saturday Kitchen, he's been on there, and I got to meet him as well. So yeah, you could go
All I'd say, Katie, is Glyn Purnell got to meet you, Katie Dore. That's the important thing. Glyn has not done the Midweek Drive, so, you know, he's got to meet you. That's the important thing. So it's very important. He was privileged to do so. I was recently doing a piece for another radio station, BBC Humberside, talking about Channel 4 and seeing where that's going to go if it moves out of London, which it's projected to do. Do you think Channel 4 should make its location in Birmingham again, especially since Pebble Mill was demolished 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. I think Birmingham would be good for it. And obviously, you've got BBC, WM, and based in the mailbox, I think. But yeah, it should definitely come to
It's
that,
obviously yeah. All go apart from the fact that Aston Villa and Birmingham City are both in the Championship as opposed to the Premiership. But still, that might change. who knows what could happen?
John Terry's come to Villa.
He has indeed, yes. Probably to see the city of Katie Grimerson. That's the reason John Terry sort of made his way there. So it was the only thing that tempted him away from Chelsea. I'm sure there are other things there. Upcoming, Phil Leonis will be joining us. As we said, Phil's visit to the United Kingdom will probably be taking place in March next year, all being well, as opposed to this year. But we'll just have to wait and see. He's an elusive character, as we know, and but apart from his time on the Midweek Drive. Have you got any messages you'd like us to pass on to Phil from yourself, Katie?
Just say hi, Phil, and that I really miss talking to you.
Well, clearly, we're going to have to either ship him over from the United States to Birmingham, England, not Alabama, or indeed vice versa, get you over to Los Angeles.
And I miss all of you. I miss Cameron as well, and William Sitwell of the Morning Edition. I think he'd be quite happy that I'd mix him with Michelin star chef.
Well, as he still cherishes his mug with your good self and himself on there, what more can I actually say? It was a wonderful award-winning prize, which is still resonating today. Katie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, as always.
Splendid. And just give us the web address. Where can people go to actually find out this wonderful part of Birmingham that should be there? Is there an online site that they can go to?
It's colmorebusinessdistrict.co.uk.
There we are, Colmore Business District, presumably all one word, .co.uk, C-O-L-M-O-R-E.
Well, it might be .com, actually, I'll have to check.
It'll be one of, use one of those search facilities and things will work out. Katie, will you return in the very near future to the programme?
Yes, definitely, and you should get down to Birmingham as well.
Katie, we salute you. Take care now.
Bye.
Tomorrow, sing it from around the bend. It's just another dusty mile, and I got dreams to spare and time to spend. Time to spend. So I'm on the road, traveling free and easy.
very first album, curiously entitled The Partridge Family, I'm on the road. And as we've mentioned his name in passing, as the show's been proceeding, it's almost time now for us to press the button. Yes, we've focused on William Coles from Mull of Kintyre Land, and of course his successful Swim Across the Bosporus in Turkey. Anna Lewis, of course, from Jersey. Rural Chapel from the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, thanked quite rightly so, not only Mr. Sanders, R.W. Sanders, but also filled in as well, kind of setting up that connection. So Rural being the first of the R.W. Sanders recommendations to join us on the programme. Annette Andre, another fabulous audio missive, and Katie's not with us, she's with us next week, Katie Grimerson, who simply sort of wanted to say the words, "Hi Phil from Birmingham."
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonard!
Yay! See, finally we managed to coordinate the TARDISes and work them in such a way that we could say, Phil, welcome back to the Midweek Drive.
The time zones and international datelines seem to get more and more complicated with each passing week, don't they? For example, I believe it is a Wednesday in August on your fair shores,
yes.
Whereas here I feel it's only a Friday in July America.
And we've already shifted from Missouri through to San Diego through to Los Angeles. It's quite amazing. That's quite good.
But, you know, us being further back on the calendar here in the U.S., I think it's just a sign that we are indeed making America great again here in this country, because we're going back in time to when things were rosier, when the air was clear. I don't know, I got nothing. But, you know, did you hear, I don't know when it would have been, of course you would have heard it, because you've already heard next week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour, apparently, since it's a Wednesday in August there, and yet here we haven't even recorded it. But on my weekly podcast, Dean Haglund explained how he doesn't get a birthday this year.
And
you hear that?
As a result of that, I was the first person to wish him happy birthday on his Facebook page. So it's all
good. That's very nice. Yeah. That's very nice. Yeah, it's one of those bizarre things, right, where his birthday is the 29th, or was, I guess. So this has already happened, where you are. He flies on the 28th. And then crosses the international dateline when it becomes the 30th, so he literally misses a birthday altogether. That's some peculiar stuff right there.
It's one of the reasons we need a female doctor, with Jodie Whittaker taking over the reins of the Time Lord in the TARDIS, which is very important. Phil, just in terms of coordinating things, I appreciate there's a classic Annette Andre audio missive, which you'll be able to hear probably when you tune in next week, or maybe as a podcast. But I couldn't let you go at this particular stage before we start shooting the breeze about asteroids coming frighteningly close to Earth, but not quite hitting the planet, although they did come very close, without kind of reeling back to a recent Chilpack Hollywood, where, as I said, to William Coles, and indeed to Anne Lewis, who was speaking to us from a church in Jersey, that I felt as though the words Landru and he just sprung to mind. I just thought he was risking so much life and limb, Phil Leonard, in terms of a recording from a sacrosanct event, the opening up of an official presentation. He actually uttered the words, "I don't buy into that story. I don't buy into that story." Not the biblical story. He was quick to add, not the biblical story. But he didn't buy into the story. And, you know, just for that moment there, I was half expecting somebody to actually point out that you are not of the body. You are not of the body. And, you know, it was worrying me, Phil. It was worrying me. But to kind of set that scene a little bit more, I thought, well, let's provide you with a little bit of sugar to actually sort of sweeten the pill, because also in that same routine was the tale of another live event that you'd actually gone to, where you didn't actually celebrate the august personages that were Daryl and John, Hall and Oates. In particular, you missed out this.
You're a rich girl and you've gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money.
Now, I don't know how much of that you actually want us to play, Phil, but I mean, we could do the full thing if you wish, or you could say, look, you know, it's early in the morning here. I've been missing my live Thursday slots, being unable to give weather forecasts because I've been on the road. So, you know, don't give me the entirety of Rich Girl and Hall & Oates unless you'd like us to.
Well, you could play me out with Rich Girl, too.
Okay.
That'll be my exit song. Now, do people know? I mean, I don't know. Do people know what you're referencing, this story? Because it's not a bad one about how I went to the Hollywood Bowl last year, one of the many times I go each year, but it was with my producing partner, Bert Boulos, a producer and actor in The Lady Killers, to celebrate his birthday. He'd been given tickets to see Hall & Oates. And it's a concert that I will never forget because the opening act was the great Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and it was Sharon Jones' final live performance before she died. So that was brilliant. But at the end of the evening, after Hall & Oates, many fans, very upset that neither during the body of their performance nor during their encores did they perform Rich Girl. And I understand their frustration. They love the song. How could they not? They have two ears and a heart, these people. But what I didn't understand was why all these strangers were literally coming up to me demanding to know, why didn't they play Rich Girl? Complete strangers marching up to me. And, of course, I would say to all of them, well, you're certainly asking the right person.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when they would say, really? Uh-huh. I would then shout in their faces, no! So, there you go.
I mean, yeah. Presumably, let's go through some of the classics. Everything Your Heart Desires, Adult Education, Family Man, I Can't Go For That, No Can Do, Kiss On My Lips, Kiss On My List, I should say.
Most of those that you mentioned were not played either, the earlier ones. Some of the early Philadelphia Soul was played and was actually really good, holds up really well. Their early tunes really hold up well. Their 80s stuff, which were actually bigger hits, I wish I could remember more of the names. I'm sure you have them handy. Those don't hold up as well, especially when performed live, because they were such a production, such a studio production. And whereas their earlier Philadelphia sound really captured that essence of the live soul sound that the city was famous for.
One day, Phil, I'm sure you'll be able to actually see and celebrate the awesomeness of Silver Lady performed by David Soul, but maybe not today, because I realise that would be pushing it too far. That would be just too far at this particular moment in time, but it's in my list of things to sort of address, as well as getting you to Birmingham, of course, as Katie Grimerson was actually saying, when is Phil Lynn is going to come to Birmingham? I don't know, Katie. I mean, I spent part of the early part of the production talking with Royal Chapel about when he's going to go over to actually make a movie about the Ozark Mountain Daredevil. So yes.
we were heading to Birmingham, Alabama, and I forced us to get off the freeway and drive around it. So if I'm not going to hit Birmingham, Alabama, I don't know. You know, sometimes sometimes Phil Lernis isn't going to go to Birmingham. Birmingham has to come to Phil Lernis.
This is so true. But it's a heartwarming tale from Katie, to the extent that actually I didn't feel we need to might do the Don't From the Universe, but just listen back to Katie's thoughts as well on her advice to graduates.
When are you back in Lincoln, or is this a surprise? Do people believe you're actually in Lincoln?
Well, actually, when this program is being broadcast, I will be in Lincoln. I just won't be in the Siren Studio in Lincoln. So
Is there going to be a Siren Studio in Lincoln?
Yes,
again?
Because I'll be broadcasting, hopefully with yourself doing the weather forecast, live on Thursday morning, which is upcoming Thursday morning, where we start off the new summer special series of Thursday shows at 7:20 a.m. UK time, which is 11:20 p.m. Los Angeles time. The reason this is happening is all due to construction works and various other factors, and the edict was issued that Siren, I'm not giving any secrets away here, it's perfectly open fact, but Siren could not actually, for risk and reasons of health and safety, could not actually have any live productions coming from the studios at the University of Lincoln between the hours of 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Now, those of you who follow the Midweek Drive frequently, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., that means that unless we found another studio, which of course we have, 126 miles north of Lincoln, that problem, you know, would sort of result in the hiatus of Midweek Drive. Admittedly, it's meant that we haven't quite managed to persuade many of the Midweek Driveettes to make that 126-mile journey north of Lincoln to actually be there. Ben Lewis is celebrating the fact that he's going to be out working for Bentley for about for a year from now. But, you know,
isn't the resistance in making the trip, though, that you're expecting them to convert the miles into kilometers?
Don't get me started on Brexit negotiations, because that's another thing entirely. I think we're still staying with miles, as far as I'm aware. However, you know, life continues. Nevertheless, it was an awesome Chilpack Hollywood time, where not only did the Los Angeles Master Chorale get a mention, but also the whole essence of following the Dean Haglund satellite navigation system, with Lily providing inserts from the back of the car. It's. I mean, to me, I just thought, take that, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Was it good? Was it good? I mean, it's one of those things where you're laughing as you're doing it, and you're wondering, is this the final show we ever do? Is this the worst?
No. If you're wondering, did Chilpack Hollywood actually jump the shark? No, it's perfectly safe. It's all sorted through that process.
Okay. That's a relief. That's a relief, because it needs to at least last for us to be able to do a week or two of road trip shows when we're in the UK next year.
Yeah, precisely. Now, we were talking earlier about Rule Chapel, and we actually had a tune which comes out of an album that he co-produced recently, and contains the ideal driving number. It's all about we played it in the first part of the program, but I think you merit actually having a chance to listen to it live, so to speak. The tale itself is about the travelling of a hearse that's desperately trying to bury the Young Brothers. This is apropos of the Young Brothers massacre in Missouri, where they actually killed more police officers than any other miscreants before or since, and as a result of that, they couldn't find any place to actually bury the actual people. It's by Royal Chapel. It features the wonderful sounds of Laurie Locke on lead vocalists. It's part of this project that's actually there. Are you ready, or indeed interested, in listening to 4 minutes 17 seconds of Keep Driving from the album relating to the Young Brothers Massacre?
I have closed myself in, shut out the plaintive, mournful cries of my cat.
Oh my word.
Who is
Fuzz, take it
protesting,
easy.
Protesting like a Sicilian widow. And now I'm capable of hearing and enjoying the dulcet tones.
There we are. It's almost as though you're in the Ian Lennox position of actually hearing a piece of music played down the cable transatlantic lines to you. Here they come, with authentic sound effects as well.
Monster face to face, I'd like to leave them here and here. everybody's going crazy. I think we all need to settle down. Why would they want to dig them up first? Get them planted in the ground. So I stop and call the men in charge and ask them what to do. And they say, keep driving, we're working on it. Take a right, then a right, then a right, then a right. Making good time, but I'm getting nowhere. Driving all day and night. Hearing voices and my nerves are shot. And I may be losing my mind. My stomach's all tied up in knots. I wish I could unwind. Well, it's decided where they're gonna go, and it's all the same to me. Why they did it, I'll never know. Somebody take these guys and let me be. I've wasted too much time. I don't know how I got this chore. Just point me to the Missouri line. I've had enough, can't take no more. 'Cause every time I call the men in charge and say, what should I do? They'd say, keep driving, we're working on it. Take a right, then a right, then a right, then a right. Making good time and I'm getting nowhere. Driving all day and night. Driving all day and night. Driving all day and night.
I have to say that I thought of you, Phil, when I first actually had that sent across to me via Royal Chapel, who very politely said, thank you for taking the time to read, and I do hope that we can continue this conversation. Actually, thanks to R.W. Saunders, because in many ways it's thanks to your introduction, Phil, that R.W. Saunders introduced us to Royal Chapel. What did you make of Keep On Driving?
That's a nice piece of music, isn't it? Yeah. Now, where is what part of the country does this come from again?
Missouri.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I had some mountains in mind. I would not have picked Missouri. I mean, that's the gateway to the West, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Smack dab in the middle.
And as Royal Chapel actually said, Laurie Locke, who was completely new to the whole thing, she didn't believe she could sing, she didn't believe she could write. She actually did both of that, and Royal helped produce it. So it just proves to show there's talent that's actually there.
Well, you know what I actually love about that? That's an interesting thing. Didn't believe. What did you say? She didn't believe she could sing?
She could write? She effectively, the video interviews that I saw with her, she was very shy. She didn't really want to involve. She's a housewife. She didn't want to get connected with the whole sort of music industry until she actually said, and a rough quote here, Royal showed me just how easy it was to make a record.
Well, I love that there's a definite humility in the performance.
Yeah.
You know, there is no sense of trying to perform something for other people, trying to prove anything. This seems like this, we're almost eavesdropping, and the sound effects actually really aid in this. It's a fascinating piece, but it's almost like we're eavesdropping on someone's own kind of private performance, singing what's within them because it's within them to sing it, but not singing it for anyone else. And we're silently outside, just listening in and enjoying the music. And it's a very intimate piece, I guess, is what I'm saying. And the music itself. I mean, it's very stirring music like that.
Well, we'll certainly be featuring more of that. You can, of course, access The Young Brothers Massacre of 1932. It's an album that Royal Chapel has put together, and, well worth sort of suggesting. Now, talking about correspondence, has the Ian Lennox book actually arrived with you safely? Because I was told when I put it into the postal services and got it all stamped up and airmailed and registered for delivery and signed for and so on, that it might take up to 5 English days to make it to Los Angeles.
Well, again, remember, you're a week, almost a week in
exactly,
the future.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know. I better go check then. I don't check my P.O. box every day.
Oh.
That's a post office box for those yes. who aren't aware. I don't check it every day. You know, generally when I know that, this is going to be a shameless plug, and this company doesn't need a plug, but when I know I have a DVD or a Blu-ray coming from Netflix, that's usually what brings me to the post office box. So I will journey outside.
You now know, Phil, that you have not only an Ian Lennox book, The Brothers, but also two collector's items from Southside Broadcasting, Siren FM's precursor and predecessor. Some of the history of the Midweek Drive is also encased within that. It's my first ever official hard postage things, which I've sent over to the United States of America for yourself.
So now, The Brothers, Ian's book,
yes.
How recent is this?
The Brothers is probably about 5 or 6 years now, but it's still very fresh, and it certainly tells the tale of two brothers in the northeast of England and their various views on the First World War. One goes off to fight, one doesn't, and the interconnectivity between the two. And I would have to say, it's of all the books that Ian's produced, he's produced some smashing ones. This one, I thought, was really, it captures all sorts of wonderful things. And again, welcome your input. As you know,
excellent.
He did say when we were connected together, when it was just after midnight your time and early in the morning, about 8:45 our time, so there we are. It's been a very time-based show once again as we've progressed and proceeded through things. Chillpackhollywood.com continues to actually have great things to bear and bring to the world. It is, of course, your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, which is always splendid from that perspective. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, Phil, about life, the universe?
Yeah, I don't often promote this, but, you know, we talk on and off, and you talk with Lily about this organization we're a part of here in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. And I'm in post-production right now on the newest episode of our monthly podcast, which is very much a time travel expedition into the 92-year history of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, which is very intricately intertwined with not only the history of Los Angeles itself, but of America, both the entertainment industry, the oil industry, politics, never more so than on this coming month's show. And I'm also going to start to introduce a little bit of a tribute that's going to last several months to beloved Breakfast Clubber Will Rogers, who famed wit and columnist and author and actor. In the 1930s, he was the most popular and highest-paid actor in Hollywood until his death in a plane crash in 1935. So it might be interesting to people everywhere, this coming month's episode, which will drop, I think, on the 31st of July. So it's already available.
It's wonderful. Go there and download and enjoy the whole process.
People can find it at LA Breakfast Club. Libsyn, LIBSYN, LABreakfastClub.libsyn.com. They can find those episodes. And if you're interested in history or just interested in enjoying another hour spent with your friend in podcasting, Phil Lernis, why not give it a try?
Exactly. That's why, you know, in terms of the audio postcards and various other things, last week, of course, you may recall, Phil, your slot was filled with Surfers Against Sewage. It's very important. Next week, hopefully, you'll be back with us. You can, of course, download the rest of the bits and pieces that are actually there. Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
It was unusual. Mm. It was out of the ordinary.
Mm. So are you able to join us tomorrow morning? I'm talking Thursday morning, obviously, here now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Not as you might sort of think, what, on a Saturday? No. Will you be able to actually join us to do another weather forecast, probably around about 11:20 or 11:30 a.m. Los Angeles time, or will you be out driving?
So that would be on my Wednesday. Day.
Yes, it
that would be tonight.
It'd be Wednesday.
Tonight.
Yeah, it would be Wednesday the 2nd of August. Exactly, just after you've listened to the program. Because, you see, you can come back from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club now, no stress whatsoever. You can simply actually listen to yourself being awesome on the Midweek Drive.
Why did I believe that that those were going on Thursday now? I don't know. Anyway, okay.
I was very confused by that, because the shows, just to set the scene, for people on Greenwich Mean Time, we still continue Wednesday 5 through 7 p.m., Thursdays 7:20 a.m. through to around about 9 a.m.
Those are still live. Okay, I love
still,
it.
Exactly.
All right, excellent.
Exactly.
So I'll be here tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then maybe also...
With a global, potentially a global weather report.
Precisely. It'll all work well. And I was thinking of Paul Weller, No Tears Left to Cry, but no, we can't leave Hall & Oates out in the cold, particularly because otherwise you'll step out of the door and Fuzz Aldrin will instantly jump on you and say, why? Why did you not play Hall & Oates?
Why no, this girl?
Exactly. So it's going to be there. Phil Leonis, we salute you. Take care.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money, you can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.